This is my time. I'm on the rise. Can't hold me down. I'm the rise. This is my time.
It's time for Scrap Guy Solutions with your host, Jeremy Miller. Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Jeremy Miller, and this is Scrap Guy Solutions, a podcast all about helping you make things happen. I'm super excited about this episode because it's an interview with one of my role models, someone who has mentored me for many, many years, someone who has certainly shaped my life in so many ways and has played a critical role in helping me become the person I am today. And after listening to this interview with my dad, Jerry Miller, also known as Big Jer around town, you will have a better understanding of how I became the person I am today. Not only did my dad inspire me to start this podcast, but he taught me so many important life lessons that have helped me figure out my path in business, politics, community, and everyday life. My parents taught me important values like hard work, respect, and honesty. And these are values that Janelle and I strive each and every day to teach our boys. And in addition to that, my dad taught me about the importance of building relationships. He taught me about when to be patient and when to be persistent or when to be more aggressive. This is something that I call patient persistence, and I talked about it in episode number 2 of Scrap Guy Solutions. He has taught me so much about business and public service and family and life in general, and this interview will give you a little glimpse of exactly what I'm talking about. And now if we can figure out how to do it, this episode will be published as a Scrap Guy Solutions podcast, as well as a Let's Talk with Jerry Miller podcast. Well, let's get into the interview. So the Miller family has deep roots here in Winona. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Winona, we are a college town here in southeastern Minnesota along the Mississippi River, with a population of about 30,000 people, when you include some of the smaller surrounding communities. We are here with my dad, Big Jer, as he's known in the community. And Dad, your family, they were Jewish immigrants. Your dad, a Jewish immigrant from Russia, and your mom, a Jewish immigrant from Poland, who both eventually found their way to Winona. You were born and raised here in Winona. I was born and raised here in Winona. And my boys were born and are being raised in Winona. So when we say deeply rooted in Winona, we mean multi-generational deeply rooted here in Winona. But growing up and raising a family today is very different than it was when you were growing up. You didn't have the video games, the streaming video services, YouTube, social media, or the many other distractions that we have today. You spent your entire childhood and the vast majority of your adult life here in Winona. Tell us a little bit about your childhood and what it was like to grow up here in Winona in the 1940s and the 1950s.
Thanks, JR. You're certainly right. This isn't the world I grew up in. I was born in 1939. I started elementary school, I think, around 1945. The war was winding down, or, you know, we won the war. People were in a good mood, everything, and it was a great time to grow up. I started out going to Madison School, and the biggest thing there was playing marbles when we got there. I was fortunate because our family was in the scrap business, so I would be able to get those little steelies, and that was a big sought out thing. So we played marbles. When I walked to school, I walked to school every day. We passed about 3 grocery stores, which we would stop in on the way. If we had a few pennies or something, we'd buy some candy and that, split it around. And things weren't organized back then either. We grew up, we lived in an area where there were a lot of kids. If we wanted to do anything, we went out, we got together, we went down to the park, and we played ball. After a bit, the city had the peewees and the midgets, Everybody was on a team. We'd get on our bikes, we'd go to Athletic Park or Gaybrick Park, and we'd play ball. And it was organized. We'd have uniforms and the whole thing. Then when we got into high school, it was a typical high school, but we didn't have all the distractions that people have today. I think the biggest deal then was maybe smoking some cigarettes or going somewhere where you could get a six-pack of beer and sit on and do that kind of thing. But it was a pleasant time. We made a lot of friends. I still got buddies that I talk to on a weekly basis. And we built great relationships with the people that we had. It was a great time to grow up.
So you're telling me there was no YouTube or Facebook back when you were growing up?
We didn't even have TV till I think it was the early 50s. And I remember that on Sunday, I was Jewish and most of my friends were Catholics. And on Sunday morning, they'd come over to our house and we'd read comic books on the porch. And then when TV came in, my mom found out that they showed the mass on TV, so at a certain time she'd bring the boys in, they'd go through the mass that was on TV, and then we'd go back out and play. So a different world.
Times were a little different back then. So at some point your parents built the business or started the business, I believe based on the history, this was probably in the 1940s is when your parents, Bill and Esther Miller, got involved in the family business and eventually started their own business in 1950 called Miller Salvage and Supply Company. And a few years later, Miller Salvage and Supply became William Miller Scrap Iron and Metal Company. In the early 1960s, the company expanded their scrap recycling operation and got into the refuse and the roll-off dumpster business, along with a small mixed solid waste transfer station. And then in the 1960s, they purchased about 10 acres of industrial land from the Winona Port Authority and moved the operation from downtown Winona, most of the operation from downtown Winona to the east end of Winona, where we continue to operate today. What are some of your early memories of the family business and the role that your parents played in operating the family business?
Well, I'll go back to my grandfather, Louis, who started the business with his family, and it was called Consumer Tire and Supply, and that was on 2nd and Main. And I can remember as a kid, I'd have to go down in the basement and throw coal in the furnace so that they would have heat, and they had a little warehouse in that building in the back, and then they had a scrap yard down on 2nd Street off of Washington, and things happened there. There was some disagreements in the family, and then my mom and dad went on their own. And the way that was done, it was through some loans that were made to them, not by a bank or anything, but by some of their family, my mother's family especially, and my dad's family. So they started that business, and at that time there was a lot of competition here in Winona and in La Crosse. You know, we just fought it out with everybody else. But then what happened is Badger Foundry came to town, and that was owned by Mr. Callender. And Mr. Callender wanted the company that supplied his scrap in Racine to be the person to supply the scrap in Winona through a brokerage type deal where the company that would sell the scrap to Badger would pay so much money to the Racine company. And nobody around here wanted to do it except my dad. My dad said, fine, I'll make that kind of deal, and that relationship exists today. As Miller Scrap grew, a lot of the relationships that we had started with my dad and mother and continue today, which is all part of building relationships. The company got into the trash business. I played handball quite a bit back in those days, and our yard was just a block, I think about two blocks away from the Y. And it was about 4:30, 5 o'clock at night, and I was going over to play handball, and this little pudgy guy came up to me and said, hey, kid, where are you going? I said, well, I got to go play handball. And he said, sit down, I want to talk to you. The next day, I was up in Minneapolis with him, Joey Polanski, and we were all of a sudden, we were in Austin, where he had a transfer station. And he was showing me all the trucks and everything. And about 2 days later, my brother Stuart and I went up to Minneapolis, and Stuart was driving a garbage truck back to Winona. No money changed hands, no nothing. And then all of a sudden, we had another truck. And I can remember we struck a deal with St. Mary's University. Jack Nankinville was kind of in charge of that at that time. And I was pretty close to Jack, and we went out and we said, hey, we'd like to handle your trash. So we went out and we handled it. We had this truck that we had to buy the containers and all that, and all of a sudden we were in the trash business. And then we had set up a little transfer station under the bridge there where we set some containers up. People would come in and we'd charge them a buck and they'd throw their stuff in the containers. And then we got Winona Manufacturing, which was pretty big account, and then things kept on growing. My mother bought this land. There were three people involved. There was the city manager, his name was Fry, it was Mr. Dorr, who was head of the Port Authority, and my mom. They sat around the table, came up with a cost, shook hands, and the deal was made. No, you didn't need any of this, all this stuff that goes on today. There were many times because we paid cash for whatever we bought on a daily basis. And when we sold the material, we had to wait maybe 2-3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks before we got the money. And we'd run short sometimes. So my mother had a deal with, I think the guy's name was Chester Falkins, and he was at the First National Bank. She'd call up Chester and say, hey, we're running a little short, but, you know, the money's coming in to cover it. So there was no questions asked. Go ahead, Esther, go ahead and do it. My ma kind of took charge of the business after my father passed away. I think it was 1961. And she had the opportunity to sell whatever she had and go back to St. Paul or Minneapolis where her family was. But my ma said, nope. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to keep the business for my boys. That was her goal. So that goal kind of persists today, and we are where we're at.
Yeah, Grandma Esther played an incredibly important role in keeping our business going. As you said, she had that choice to either move back to the Twin Cities where her family was or continue the business here in Winona. And I have some questions for you a little bit later, specifically about Grandma Esther. But the other thing that you had mentioned is the importance of building and maintaining relationships. In many ways, this business, Miller Scrap and Disposal, was built and continues today because of the relationships that have existed for many, many years and now many generations of Millers. And I always talk about some of the life lessons that I learned from you and mom, including hard work, respect, and honesty. And one of the things that I've always learned from you is the importance of building and maintaining those relationships. And you touched a little bit on that. Now, some of my memories of growing up here in Winona, including riding my bike to work on Saturday mornings. We had that downtown recycling facility where we collected aluminum cans. And a lot of times my buddies would have sleepovers on Friday nights, and I couldn't participate in the sleepover because I had to work on Saturday morning. So I would have to catch up with them after I was all done at the can place, is what we called it, downtown. What are some of your memories about growing up in the family business? When did you start working, and what types of things did you do as you were growing up?
Okay, I think we'll start with early on, we didn't have a magnet crane. So my brothers and I, we'd go down, or not Maury yet, but Stuart and I would go down on Saturdays, and we'd have to go through the roads where the people drove so they wouldn't get flat tires, and we'd pick up all the bolts, nails, and that, and we'd get about a nickel, a pail, whatever we picked up. We all knew how to run torches. We could run every crane. We could run every piece of equipment in the yard. There were many times I'd come down on a weekend and load a carload of scrap with a magnet or with a grapple. And we did everything. My dad and my mom would be in the office, and we'd be out sorting the metal or this or that or whatever. And that gradually changed as we got older and that, and then the boys kind of took over the business. And for a while, all three of us were in there. I went to the Army. I was in the Army there for a while, and then Stuart went to Arizona State, I think, and got a master's degree, and Maury was up at the U playing football and going to school up there. So, but all those times, there were one time that at least one of us or two of us were here with my mom.
So it's something that I say often on this podcast, and it's something that I learned from you and mom, and certainly from Grandma Miller, and that is there are not many trips down Easy Street. If you want something, you have to work for it. You have to earn it. You have to figure out a way to make it happen. And if you don't, somebody else will. Now, you are the third generation to be involved in our family recycling and waste business, which of course makes Todd, Willie, and me the fourth generation. And now one of Willie's boys is working with us here at the scrapyard and actually driving for our Miller disposal business. And then the other one is thinking about coming to work for us. So now we're into the fifth generation of Millers to be involved in this business that dates all the way back to the early 1900s. The records that I've looked at show our company being established in 1910, and that was when your grandfather, Lewis Miller, you talked a little bit about this earlier, but he started the entire operation all the way back in the early 1900s, and basically, I think you can tell us more, but my understanding is he would go through the alleys of Winona with a horse and buggy. That's how far this goes back. So what memories do you have of your grandfather, Lewis Miller, and how he got started into the scrap business?
Not too many, but there's a picture somewhere of me sitting on his knee, I think. But, you know, the thing is, back then, unlike today, when they came in to this country, they had to work. They had to figure something out to work to make money so that they could eat. In fact, on my mother's side, my grandfather couldn't bring the rest of the family in to this country until everything was set up where they could take care of themselves. And it took about 6 or 7 years for him to be able to bring the rest of his family over. And you're right. They started out with a horse and wagon. And they'd go through alleys or whatever and pick up whatever, whether it was paper or rags or whatever they had. And they figured out a way to process it and sell it to somebody and make a little bit of profit in between. And that's where we are today. We take things that the companies and that don't use, and we basically do the same thing. And like I said before, if they wanted to eat, they had to work. I remember one time, there's a story that my grandfather had a big pile of scrap in his yard there, and it was during the Depression, and somebody came up to him and said, "Hey, Louis, you're rich. You got all this scrap here." And my grandfather turned to him and said, "Hey, I got a lot of scrap, but I can't eat it." So, you know, it's everything is perception, but that's, I think, where I got my start or learning what it's like, and I maintain that today. A lot of the things going on today are different than what they were, but times change. But I think we'd be a lot better off if more people would realize that if you wanted something, you had to work for it.
Yeah, very good point. Something that certainly, we learned as boys being raised in the Miller family, if you want something, you got to work for it. You have to figure out a way to earn it. You mentioned the Army earlier, and this really isn't something that you talk much about, but can you tell us a little bit about your experience in the Army? Were you drafted to the Army, or how did that process come about?
I enlisted in the Army, and I was in the Army Reserves for 5 years, I think about a year active duty. And to me, it's one of the highlights of my life. It was the first time in my life that I had three meals a day. I ate three meals on a regular schedule every day. I got up early, went to bed early, And I made some pretty good friends. Even today, I get calls or cards from some of them. And what I learned was in the Army, and that's why I think everybody should go through something like that. Here I was from Winona, Minnesota. I rode down on a train down to Fort Leonard Wood, did all the stuff, and all of a sudden I'm in a platoon or with a bunch of guys that I don't know, all different races, creeds, religions, backgrounds, and we were all thrown together, but we figured out pretty quick that if we wanted to make our life easier, we had to work together. And what we had to do is those that needed help, we had to help them. We had to help them be able to make the grade. So when the sergeant said, do 10 push-ups or 50 push-ups or whatever, that everybody could do it. That when the sergeant said, we're going on a 2-mile hike or a 20-mile hike, everybody had to do it. So we had to work together in order for all of us to succeed. And to me, that was always a good lesson. And it taught me that whatever you are, whatever religion, creed, color, sexual preference, or whatever it is, we're all people, and our basic needs are all the same, and nobody's any different or better than anyone else. We all put our pants on the same way. And for you to get ahead and you to be successful, you have to be able to work with everyone. And I really appreciated that about the Army. It wasn't all good, but you learn a lot of good lessons. And I think a lot of those lessons are not learned today.
Tell us a little bit about the role that your mom and dad played in the business and how things changed after your dad passed away.
My dad played the principal role as we were growing up to a certain time. He did the buying and the selling and all that while we were out doing the work, working in the yard and that kind of thing. Then when my dad passed away, my ma took over, and she had a unique ability of getting along with people. When my dad died, all the competitors in the area here said, well, she's not going to last long. She's nothing but a greenhorn. As it turns out, fast forward today, there aren't too many around here anymore, and her legacy lives on. She was a very strong person. She cared sincerely about her family. In fact, she would even some night, you know, she knew the boys weren't all angels all the time between myself, Stuart, and Maury, and she'd keep an eye on things as well as other families in Winona. I remember my cousin Hugh, his dad Ben Miller was on the school district at that time, and there was a big party across the river, and the cops came and nailed a lot of people, brought them in and everything. The first thing Ben did was call my mom up and said, hey, I'm going to check and see if any of our boys are there. And fortunately, we weren't. So that turned out good. But that's the way they were. They cared about family. She was well known in the community. People knew her. People respected her. She respected everybody. And she'd go into the stores. People knew who she was. And built quite a reputation for being basically a good person. And I remember my dad had a sister, Dinah, Aunt Dinah. And Aunt Dinah was okay, but she was a little slow in some ways. And she had a tendency to go into stores and pick things up and walk out with them. My mother had a deal with all the stores that if Dinah came in and took anything, just call me and we'll pay for it. So in those days, you could do those kind of things. Today, it'd be impossible. But those are kind of things that build character, not only with the person who is initiating it, but with people who take part in it. And if we had more of that today, I think it would certainly be a good thing. But she was a good person. Tough, but good.
And Grandma Miller, Grandma Esther, had the choice to basically shut down the business and move back to the Twin Cities where her family was. Or she could continue the scrap recycling business, a business that
very few women were involved with at that time. And she really took the business to a next level. Miller Scrap and Disposal is not here today if it weren't for all the efforts that Grandma Miller put into continuing the business, building the business, being involved in the community and in so many ways. She really became a fixture not only of the business community, but the overall community. And in 1971, Grandma Miller was named Outstanding Career Woman here in Winona. And then in 1983, Grandma Miller was named Business Woman of the Year. And the article that's dated October 12th, 1983, reads as followed. And I'm going to read it here quickly. Miller named Woman of the Year. Esther Miller's life story is one of struggle and success. It's one of perseverance against tremendous obstacles and her due rewards. Miller, 73, is known locally as the feisty woman who dared to continue in the men's business of scrap iron and metal works that her husband started before he died. But her business venture is only one of the many struggles of her past. Miller was honored Tuesday night with the Business Woman of the Year Award from the Winona Business and Professional Women's Club. She was cited for her unfailing spirit and will to succeed, qualities she developed at an early age as a persecuted Jew in Poland. When I was in the old country, I never thought I'd see this country, let alone get this kind of award, she told members of the club Tuesday at Winona State University. Miller said, too many people in the United States think the country owes them something. People owe the country more than the country owes them, she said. Miller's religion prevented her from receiving a formal education in Poland. At the age of 16, she immigrated to the U.S. with her family, and soon she began night school in Minneapolis. In 1937, she married William Miller and moved to Winona, where she and her husband worked in his family's business, Consumer Tires. They became owners in 1950, but were forced to rebuild after a fire destroyed the business. They started William Miller Scrap Iron and Metal Company, an operation in which women were seldom seen 30 years ago. After her husband's death in 1962, Miller took over as business manager. Today, she is chairwoman of the board, assisted by sons Jerome, Stuart, and Maury. Vivian Elbert, nominating committee chair of the Business and Professional Women's Club, said the club decided to reinstitute the Business Woman of the Year Award this year, and Miller was the natural choice. Well, that tells you a little bit about who Esther Miller was. She was certainly one of those people who did what it took to make things happen. And as a result, Miller Scrap and Disposal is a successful, multi-generational business that has been providing local recycling and waste solutions to the area for well over 100 years. But like many other family businesses, it hasn't always been sunshine and roses. There are certainly advantages of having a family business, but there are also a unique and many times difficult set of obstacles that need to be overcome for family businesses to be successful. In fact, statistics show that only about 40% of family businesses transition from the first generation into the second generation. And then only about 10 to 15% of family businesses successfully transition to a third generation, and less than 5% of family businesses survive beyond the third generation. And Dad, as you know, our business certainly has not been immune, or we have not been shielded from the difficulties or the obstacles that many family businesses face. In fact, you were actually forced out of the family business at one point and even left the state to work for another scrap recycling company. What caused this to happen, and what did you learn from this experience?
Yeah, that was an interesting part of my life, and I think the business's life too, because Susan and I were going together for a long time. I decided, well, this is the time to get married. So Susan wasn't Jewish at that time. She converted. And at that time, my mother was pretty strict on that. And I remember sitting in our living room, my mother, myself, and my two brothers, and they were deciding what to do. The decision was that I had to leave. So I left. And it turned out to be, one thing that we teach here, and Jeremy's well aware of, whenever one thing goes one way that looks not too good, there's always an opportunity for something to work out good. So soon I got married. We went to Jacksonville, Florida. I went to work with a big company, a big scrap multinational company, commercial metals company. Willie was born. Jeremy wasn't born yet. And Todd is my stepson, and we moved to Florida, and to me it was a great experience. I learned a lot. I created some more relationships and was able to bring those experiences back here when it was decided that I should come back, which I did, by the way, with a big pay cut. So I got back here, Jeremy was born, and we're where we're at today.
So our family has been providing recycling and waste solutions to the community for over 100 years now. We're four generations of recycling, now into the fifth generation. But it's also been a priority of our family to give back to the community. We do this through making donations to a number of different nonprofits in the community. We all volunteer for different nonprofits in the community. We also started the Maury Miller Athletic Foundation, which helps support and sustain youth athletics in the area. But before we get into more about the Maury Miller Athletic Foundation and other ways that we give back to the community, public service has also been an important role for our family in the community. You spent some time on the city council, I believe maybe in the 1980s, is that
80,
right?
80 to 84.
And then I think it was in 1996 that you were elected mayor of Winona, a position that you held for 16 years. What are some of your most memorable memories of being mayor or being on the city council?
Well, you get a lot of memories. We had a great council, we had a great staff, and I think that's where all the success came from. I had the ability to be able to get four votes whenever I wanted it. So we had a good run. I now drive around Winona, whether I go east, west, or wherever, I always see projects that were done or started during that period of time. Some things stand out. We had a 0.5% sales tax that passed where we dredged on the east end here. We pledged that we would give that 0.5% back or call it off when the project was done, and we did it. Many cities today, they get that 0.5%, they continue doing it. I think Rochester started it 20 years ago, and they're still using it. But we made that pledge to the community that it would come off, and we did. And meanwhile, you can drive down here in the east end of Winona and see what all it produced. I drive up in the east end, I see the overpass. We were involved with the new bridge. A lot of the things that are happening or happened in the downtown were initiated during those 16 years. So it was a good time. I was in a position that I didn't owe anybody anything. I never took $1 in campaign monies. I never went out to lunch and had somebody pay. I never took anything. And I had a good time. I really did. But the main thing is we had a good council. We had good people. And Eric Sorensen was city manager, and it was a pleasure to work with him and Myrna and everybody, Mary Berchter. In fact, we had, during that time, Dieter and I had to go to St. Paul to the state and justify why we had so many women in the higher positions. We had Mary was finance director, Judy was the head of something. We had the city clerk was a woman. We had all these high positions. Dieter and I went back and went up there, and I let Dieter handle it because he was the employment expert, and we won the case. So there were a lot of good times, a lot of good things, and unfortunately, a lot of those good friends have left, and, you know, it's hard for me to look back and not think of them and thank them for everything that they did.
So you said that you had the ability to get 4 votes anytime you wanted. You make it sound so easy, but you had this unique ability, and you still do, to bring people together on issues that they may initially disagree on, and oftentimes you turn these controversial disagreements into agreements. You bring people together, you have a conversation, and then you work towards a solution. And this is certainly something that I have learned from you, and you have inspired me to since run for public office. And I'm in the Minnesota State Senate, and a lot of what I do and a lot of the characteristics I have are things that I learned from you. You hire the right people. You let them do job. That's important in business. That's important in politics. That's important in everyday life. In many ways, you were a trendsetter, having more women in higher positions than many other cities, and even to the point where you had to go to the state and prove and justify that those women were getting the job done in those positions. And I think, just in so many ways, you were a trendsetter. But how did you do it? How did you bring people together that may have disagreed on an issue and then ultimately figured out a way to a path to a solution that they all, or at least most of them, agreed to? What was your secret sauce?
Well, the key was to get people together. When people would meet with me, I'd tell them right up front, I'd say, you know, not everybody doesn't get everything they want. And you got to work it out. And a lot of situations, I'd get them together, and then I'd tell them that you guys work it out, and if you can't, I will, and you're not going to like the way I do it. So, you know, that the key is to get them together and get them to start talking to each other. And that's what we're missing today, I think, in politics. People don't even, they don't even want to talk to the other side. We're all kind of the same, and if we got disagreements, we just got to get together and talk about them. And it took me a year to get that landlord thing, the 60% rule. It took me a year, probably 50 meetings of people sitting around in a circle and talking, let everybody talk, and I don't know, maybe they all got tired of talking, but whatever. But we finally reached an agreement, and that if you want to get what's good for the most or for the whole, you got to reach that in between. And the trouble today is a lot of these politicians, they want their way or no way, and it's a bad situation, and I think we're all living through it now.
Yeah, and it sounds like communication is a key in that. So you got to be able to communicate what your position is, but not only communicate what your position is, but also listen to the views that other people have, and then you put all those ideas on a table, and then you talk through them, and you try to figure out the best path forward. And a lot of times there might be disagreements on an issue. The end goal might be the same, but the path to get to that goal might be different, and there might be disagreements on that. So you need to communicate and work through that. And that's one of the things that I've learned from you is bring people to the table, even if you disagree with them, but bring them to the table, have a conversation, listen to each other, learn different people's perspectives, and then figure out a path forward from there.
You're right. The key is listening, because if you let other people talk long enough, they're going to talk their way right into where you are. I think you got to be a good listener, probably one of the main things.
Yep. I've learned, especially in politics, talk less and listen more, and you'll be amazed at how much you learn where people are at, what their position is. And you also learn some new ideas as well when you talk less and listen more. Very important. So one of the many life lessons that I learned from you and Mom growing up was the importance of giving back. And that might be donating money to a local nonprofit or volunteering in the community, being a public servant, which we just talked about. Miller Scrap and Disposal donates to many, many, many local organizations every single year. We have our community give back program. And we also helped form the Maury Miller Athletic Foundation over 20 years ago now. And this was in memory of your brother, my uncle Maury. And the foundation has now donated over $3 million to local youth organizations, including the Winona Area Youth Athletics Complex at Paul Giel Field. We have the Maury Miller Youth Tackle Football League. We have the Maury Miller Strength and Conditioning Program at our local high schools and middle schools. And just about, if not every single youth athletic organization has benefited in one way or another from the Maury Miller Athletic Foundation and the number of other ways we give back to the community. Why is it so important to you to give back and to support the community where we live and where we work and where we have raised our families?
Well, you never forget where you came from and what it was before. We always gave, even when times were slow years ago. My mom and dad would give something. A lot of times I can remember some of these guys would come in and they'd want money. My dad would send them down to AMP or whatever where they could buy food and that kind of thing. And, you know, it's not always money, Jeremy. A lot of times you give back a lot in different ways, as simple as writing a letter to a friend who has their wife or their child died, and you write back a letter. Or somebody did something good, and you write back, you congratulate them on what they did. There's a lot of ways to give back, and we've done that, and I think it's good. I think we've accomplished a lot of things, and I think we've helped a lot of people. But don't forget about the little things, too. The little things, sometimes it's just picking up the phone and saying, hey, how do you feel? You got older people that are home alone, nobody ever talks to them. People that you know, hey, how you doing today? Do you need me to pick up something or whatever? Just to show that somebody's thinking about them and that we're happy they're alive. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But we've been always that way, and I think you and the boys here, we do a good job by making sure that we give money in a way that it goes to where the need is and it's not siphoned off by a bunch of people in between. So to that's important too.
Yeah, you make a good point. The little things make a big difference.
Right.
Little things make a big difference. This is another one of the many things that I have learned from you. And in my role as a state senator, we are always sending out letters, whether it's for an 80th or 90th or even 100-year birthday party, or perhaps someone caught a big fish or bagged a big buck or whatever it might be, we're always trying to send out those letters. And when I'm out in the community, when I'm at a grocery store or maybe at a restaurant or at a community event, I can't tell you how many people walk up to me and thank me for that letter that I wrote either to that person or to their grandmother or to their child or their grandson. So those little things do make a big difference.
Yeah, one thing I forgot that I should mention. When I was mayor, 16 years, I would try once a month to go to one of these senior facilities, whether it be the Watkins Home or the hospital one, or on the, you know, we got Calista Court and St. Anne's. And I'll tell you, those were the best times I'd have. I'd go in and a group of older people, and I'll tell you, I learned more from them than anyone because they had the experience. They knew what happened years ago, and they could tell me what happened then. And if you turn it around, what was happening then is probably happening today. And I really enjoyed that, and I think, in fact, they would look forward to me coming and we'd have a good time. And a great thing that I got more from them than they got from me. But one thing it did, it showed them that the city, what's going on in the city, it's important for them to know about it. And they appreciated that.
And that's one of the many reasons why you were a strong advocate for our senior population here locally. And of course, that's something that has continued with my role as a Minnesota State Senator. So at no one would be able to tell by looking at you, but I believe 84 years old now.
Yeah,
so
84.
At 84 years old, you still come to the scrapyard every single day and you're still very much involved, very engaged in the business. You're always looking for new ways to do what we're currently doing, always looking for new innovations. You're always looking for opportunities to expand. What keeps you motivated? What keeps you going day in and day out?
Well, you got to have something to do. I got a place to go. They can't kick me out. I don't really do much. I just kind of watch what's going on. I got my regular, I check my emails. I do this and I do that, things that I do. But I, in my way, I'm pretty involved in the business. Right now I'll go through either Jeremy or Willie. I won't go to the men and say too much as to what to do or what not to do. But I suggest and at least gives them a different set of eyes. And maybe I see things that they don't see. And all I can say is I'm having a good time. And then one thing about being down here, too, that I really enjoy, a lot of people come in here. In a day or in a week, there's a lot of people that come in. They either come in to BS or they come in to throw something off or this or that. And I invariably people will come in that are close to my age. And when we get together and we talk about what things were like in high school or this or that. And, you know, that's kind of what keeps me young. And then I got the young guys around, too. So, you know, it's a good thing.
Well, folks, don't let him fool you because he is still very engaged in the business and a very important part of our business. He certainly keeps me on my toes and I absolutely have it. But folks, there you have it. Big Jer is someone who is making things happen and there are no signs, absolutely no signs of him slowing down. Not only does he still come to work every day, but he is still actively involved in the decisions that we make here at Miller Scrap and Disposal, especially if we're looking at ways to grow and expand. He definitely keeps me on my toes. As I said earlier, he loves to spend time with his 6 grandkids, and they absolutely love it when Grandma and Papa M are around, especially at all their sporting events. They always ask us before every basketball game or baseball game or football game or swim meet or whatever it is, are Grandma and Papa M coming? So they're always looking forward to that. Well, as you heard, Big Jer is a pretty incredible guy. My dad continues to be the inspiration behind so much of my journey in life, including encouraging me, well, actually more like challenging me to grow our business here at Miller Scrap, helping motivate me to run for public office, and of course, inspiring me to launch a podcast. While this concludes the interview with my dad, or Big Jer, as he's known around town, we have several more interviews lined up with everyday folks who are out there making things happen, so keep listening. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrap Guy Solutions. Please subscribe, follow, share, like, or whatever we do for podcasts and social media posts. We would also truly appreciate a 5-star review. All of these things help with the algorithms, which they tell me helps spread the word about the podcast. Most importantly, make today your day. Figure out what you want, then get started, stick with it, and go make it happen. Peace out. This is my time. Ready to shine.